From the land grant university in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's June the 11th, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll take a look at the cash grain market. In today's agricultural news, the Chinese are calling on the U.S. government to stabilize the value of the dollar, and the Senate has opted not to take up an energy-related bill. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories. And then we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. That'll happen as we finish up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL AM 580, public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby July wheat up the limit at 60 cents higher, $8.69 the settlement price for the day. September at 8.85 and a half up 60. And December futures at $9.09 up the limit as well, 60 higher. July corn futures across the board for the contracts will read 30 cents higher. The limit up 7.03 and a quarter for the July. September at 7.16 and three quarters. December futures at 7.32 and three quarters. And the March contract at $7.47. Those are new all life of contract ties, and I think all of them probably are all corn contract ties across the board, too. Forever, July soybean futures up 70 cents. That's the limit higher, 15.16 and a half, the settlement price. August at 15.19 and a quarter, up 70. And September futures at 15.13 and a half, up 70. November beans did go limit higher, up 70 at one point during the day, but finished at 15.09 for 2008, up 68 cents. July bean meal at 398.50, up 20. July bean oil at 65 even. That's up 2.35 for the day. June live cattle futures, 94.45, 95 cents higher. August futures at $100.85 for the live cattle, $1.22 and a half higher. And the feeder cattle traded the August contract down $2.15 at $108.82 and a half. September futures were down $1.75 at $110.55 for the afternoon. June lean hogs at $73.97 and a half, up 25 cents for the day. Here's the outside markets as they're trading. At this time, crude oil futures, July contract, $136.40 a barrel, $5.09 a barrel higher. August contract at $138.69. That's up $6.83. Ethanol trading the July futures at $2.62, up 12 and 2-tenths. The August contract at $2.63 and 5-tenths, up 8 and 5-tenths. Natural gas, $12.65 and 2-tenths, up 21 and 7-tenths. And the August at $12.73 and 9-tenths, up 22 and 3-tenths for the day. Heating oil futures, this is your diesel fuel, 16 and 7-tenths higher at $3.98. August contract at $4 even, up 16 cents. July propane futures at $1.69 and 9-tenths for the day. And the gold futures at $879.70 an ounce are now trading $11.80 higher. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is just about 139 points lower at 12,151 for the afternoon. And the U.S. dollar is off just by 0.41 at 73.22 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the two-state region. From our own chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser, he says tonight skies will be clear to partly cloudy across Illinois and Indiana. Lows will range from 62 in northeastern Indiana to 70 in west central Illinois. Tomorrow, says Ed, in northern and west central Illinois, increasing cloudiness, some scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. Those will arrive during the afternoon. Elsewhere, mostly sunny. Highs tomorrow from 84 in northwestern Illinois to 92 in the south. Tomorrow, wind speeds at 15 to 25 miles an hour. The extended forecast calls for showers and thunderstorms that should work across Illinois and Indiana tomorrow night through Friday night. Some will be locally heavy, and primarily those will occur in the northern parts of Illinois into central sections of the two-state region.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. A good and profitable afternoon to you, Paul.
Yeah, nice to talk to you, Todd.
Boy, oh boy, we're looking at limit higher, new contract highs across the board in the corn. And I suppose those are not only, those are life of contract highs too, and probably all-time highs, I think, for the corn market at this point. $7 corn. Did you think you'd ever see it?
Oh, I tell you what, this is a new era, and we don't play by the same old rules we did 20 years ago, Todd. So lesson number one is this is a new game, and we will play by new rules and new game plan, and we have to learn to change. Overnight, we did see crude oil stronger, the dollar weaker. Of course, the president is in Europe with the G8, and worldwide inflation is the conversation. And at the same time, there are several commodity analysts that say we are very high-priced. But the big factor is that there is forecast for major flooding in Iowa and Minnesota, two very large producing states. And one person mentioned to me this morning that in 93 there was 2.5 million acres of bottomland in Iowa that generally goes to corn that's basically flooded out. And as a result of that, you know, my attention quickly ran to the 86 million acres. And we all basically can do some simple math. And, you know, what if we do have 4 million acres off of that benchmark? And the government did allude to yield loss yesterday in their supply demand. As a result of that, the market quickly exploded and closed limit up. We understand that if there is a very large pool. The synthetic prices are basically 18 to 20 cents up in corn. And with major flooding on the horizon, and basically the calendar says it's too late to plant corn, the corn market just basically exploded today, and the bull won round one.
Well, so for the overnight, you think the 750 mark, that would be 18 cents up in the December. Will that be a mark to look for?
Yes, I think it will be, could be a mark to look for. And basically the market is spooked. The market is, even though the U.S. corn market's the highest-priced corn market in the world, maybe the other people don't realize the major problems. And, of course, that's where the rub comes. We always like to trade major grain companies, and major traders always want to know what the highest-priced market is and what the lowest-priced market is and make the two come together. So, you know, that's major trading philosophy, and the U.S. market's basically the highest in the world. The problem is nobody knows what the real acres are, nobody knows what the real yield is, and the old adage, which I respect a great deal, when the rain stops falling, it usually gets too dry. And, of course, we all know there's major problems over a large geographic area, and that also has the market's attention.
I'm going to pat Darryl Good on the back here for just a second. Then I'm going to ask you to help make some corrections if producers didn't follow some advice that he gave back in February and early March, I suppose, just after they had gotten their crop insurance done. His suggestion at that point was that there was enough upside potential that they probably ought to protect the upside as well. If they did not do that, and they're setting, I don't know, 30-40% priced, and they actually had that crop, and now it's looking more like, I guess what, maybe 50 or 55% of their crop here in this state, potentially. Is there anything that they ought to do?
Yeah. Well, you know, we are blessed with having rich farmland, And, you know, certain little things like if your corn's a little yellow, you know, try to get some more anhydrous or 28% on it and things like that. But I know you're searching for the marketing tool. And what we're basically looking at here is I think that it's serious enough that I wouldn't short any and I would wait to get more accurate market information, because we are looking at a situation where the marketplace, we didn't get the CRP acres released like we needed to. You know, this is going to you know, make things a challenge for everyone. But I think a person has to be very careful. And if you're lucky enough to have corn and soybeans ownership, you know, I think I would hold on to them a few days. The one that I'm very nervous about is wheat, and I think that wheat is overvalued in relation to corn.
Yeah, the numbers yesterday showed there was a big crop on the horizon, and it's coming in now, not only in the United States, but worldwide.
That's true, and the basis levels indicate it. You know, hopefully some way people can issue warehouse receipts as a delivery situation or some new tool to make cash and futures more realistic. But at this present time, you know, we think corn, I personally think Paul Cooley thinks that wheat is a little pricey in relation to corn.
Anything else to add before I let you
have
go?
Have a profitable day, Todd. And hey, we're looking at a 20th anniversary of Commodity Week, and I'm excited about that.
Boy, I'm excited about that too. We'll see you on Friday afternoon to record that program at 4:30, Paul.
Have a profitable day.
Okay, Paul Cooley with ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. We'll celebrate the 20th anniversary of Commodity Week. It's our weekly look at the marketplace on Friday afternoon. You can pick it up as a show on the air at 11:30 Saturday mornings on WILL. WHOW airs it on 1520 AM out of Clinton at 8:30 AM Saturday mornings. Or you can listen to it online at willag.org. We post it not long after we're done recording, so it should be up by 6 o'clock Friday night. Paul Cooley on the 20th anniversary edition. Paul was actually on the very first Commodity Week as well.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Well, Paul Cooley mentioned one thing I wanted to take back up, anhydrous ammonia, a little extra in for your corn crop. Is it needed? Not necessarily so. You probably should take a look at an article that was penned by Fabian Fernandez. He's the soil fertility specialist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus. I spoke with him this morning, but the article's online at ipm.uiuc.edu. We'll hear from him during the show tomorrow. He thinks it's probably not necessary to put on extra in at this time. If you want to do it, he says, do a test strip first, throw a little down and see whether it turns green out there. If it does, you need it. If not, it's probably okay. That's good advice, and that'll keep a little extra money in your back pocket. Dave Dickey is here now to take a look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, China's ambassador to the World Trade Organization says the U.S. dollar is being allowed to fall in value to the detriment of a number of nations around the world. The ambassador, Sun Zhenyu, says he hopes the U.S. could, quote, take quick and targeted actions to stabilize the U.S. dollar. A cloture vote in the Senate yesterday held off a floor debate on energy legislation that would allow the Justice Department to bring lawsuits against OPEC, significantly raise collateral requirements on oil traders to discourage speculative trading, and place a windfall profits tax on oil companies failing to invest in renewable fuels. The bill is opposed by all but five Senate Republicans. USDA Chief Economist Joe Glauber is set to testify Thursday before the Senate Finance Committee. Glauber is expected to take questions on the food versus renewable fuels standard debate. In May, USDA said the link is small and that food prices would rise about 5% this year. About 80,000 South Koreans protested yesterday in Seoul against the planned resumption of U.S. beef imports. USDA Secretary Ed Schaefer says South Korean consumers are misguided about the safety of U.S. beef. Also yesterday, U.S. Commerce Secretary Carlos Gutierrez says the U.S. will not renegotiate the deal that fully opens South Korea to U.S. beef exports. Republican presumptive presidential nominee John McCain blasted the new farm bill yesterday, saying it's a prime example of why Americans are, quote, disappointed in the conduct of their government and at times so disgusted by it. McCain says the new farm bill ignores small farms and sends a, quote, steady supply of subsidies to agribusiness. And the CFTC yesterday announced a new task force will be formed to examine the rise in crude oil prices and the influx of new investors into commodity grains. The task force will examine investor practices, supply and demand factors, and study the role of speculators and index traders in the commodity markets. On the task force, staff from the CFTC, the Federal Reserve, USDA, the Departments of Treasury and Energy, and the Securities and Exchange Commission. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website, the address, willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find this program and Commodity Week and other agricultural programming you can listen to any time you'd like. It's all absolutely free, and if you'd like to have it delivered to your computer automatically as a podcast, you can sign up to do that too. That's at willag.org, willag.org. Well, food security, as you already know, has come to the forefront of the international agenda, and many people are blaming biofuels. They are an easy target, but as you'll hear, not an easy answer to why the price of food in some very poor nations has skyrocketed. There are lots of calls these days for governments to divest themselves of biofuels promotion. Many around the globe say the push for diesel made from oil seeds and ethanol made from corn have dramatically increased the price of staple food crops like wheat and rice. University of Illinois Extension Ag economist Darrell Good says that is not the whole story.
I don't think it does any good to deny the fact that ethanol demand has raised the price of corn. That's what it was intended to do. Increase demand. We require more corn, raises the price. The question then becomes, how much does that higher price of corn contribute to higher food costs? And I think the answer depends on what country you're talking about. For the U.S., where we've looked at a 5% increase in food costs over the last 6 months, probably the cost of raw commodities has been a relatively small portion of that increase. One would guess that all the other energy-related costs, packaging, manufacturing, transportation, have contributed as much or more to the increase in food prices domestically than the price of raw commodities. But I think what we're seeing is maybe a bit of a different picture in the less developed countries, where food is consumed closer to the raw form than it here is in the U.S., so that when we double the price of rice, wheat, corn, that nearly doubles the price of food for some of those countries, and those tend to be extremely low-income countries that are spending 70-80% of their income on food. So I think that's really become the focus now, is the implications for those developing nations where food supplies have become tighter and a lot more expensive. I don't really see the domestic food price as quite as critical at this point.
So the U of I's Darrell Good says demand for corn to make ethanol in the U.S. has reallocated the number of acres available for that crop, and by definition, not available to produce other crops. There is a ripple effect.
But certainly that's not the only factor that's contributed to the higher prices of wheat and rice, for example. I mean, it's easy to point to some shortfalls in production on wheat that now seems to be correcting itself. It looks like we're on the verge of maybe producing a big wheat crop here. Rice is a little bit of a conundrum in my mind. When you look at the numbers worldwide, production was pretty big this past year. Stocks look to be fairly abundant, but we've seen huge price increases, and I think that is more of a reflection of what's happening with food policy. We're seeing countries curb their exports. I think we're seeing some hoarding of rice, so that we're contributing to a tight available supply situation because of those actions, not so much because the overall supply is a lot tighter, but there seems to be a bit of a hoarding mentality developing in a lot of the producing countries at this point.
Indeed, worldwide demand for food had been the primary driver in the wheat and the rice markets. Biofuels was a convenient and a pretty good scapegoat, but by no means had alone pushed the price of those staple crops to unbelievable record highs. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Baisdefer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
It's a Wednesday afternoon. Time to take a look at the cash grain market. The folks at the Andersons in Delphi, Indiana, joined us. Matt Blaisdell on the line from Indiana. Hi, Matt.
How you doing, Dad?
I'm very well. Tell me about the cash grain market in your area today.
Right now, today, with the higher board movement, a lot of guys are backing off their bids. We can say the same. Our cash bid, we fell by 2 cents, and then also with the movement in the market, went ahead and here at the ethanol plant backed off our January deferred bids on into next summer, 2 to 4 cents, depending on the month.
Backed off, but certainly still higher than they were yesterday, I would think.
Yes, correct. Still the little bit of corn movement here. A lot of commercials still have a little bit of movement to move here in the August first half set time frame to clean up before harvest, with a lot of the producers maybe only having 5,000 here or there or clean out bin bottoms. So a lot of the corn is called for, and there's some commercials here finishing up a little bit here the last part of summer.
Still giving bids for December and later delivery or not?
We are giving bids all the way out till actually March of 2010, with a lot of guys starting to really seriously think about that flat price for next harvest of 09, right around the 650 area here for the ethanol plant. A lot of guys getting a lot of attention on that the last couple of days with the higher board movement.
Have you taken any corn in on that price level for 2009?
Quite a bit. I'd say here in the last, probably what, this week, the last 3 days,
right,
we probably bought about 50,000 around that level.
Okay, and then what are your expectations for basis in the coming few days?
I expect our basis, especially it sounds like tomorrow's going to be another crazy day. I think that basis here in the country, we're probably going to continue to fade here. It seems like a lot of guys are processors are pretty covered here for the next couple weeks, maybe the next couple months, and feel pretty comfortable not having to pay too much for what's still out there in the countryside.
And quickly, your bids for the day?
Bids here, 669, new crop, 7. $6.95, beans $15.01.
Okay, thanks much, Matt.
Thanks.
Matt Blaisdell is with the Andersons. He's in Delphi, Indiana. In 2 minutes, we'll take a look at the agriculture weather forecast with Drew Lerner.
June means picnic.
It's National German Chocolate Day. It's also Feast Day of St. Barnabas, the patron saint of farmers. On this day in agricultural history in 1742, Benjamin Franklin invented the Franklin stove. The wood fuel burns on an iron surface over a cold air duct, which heats air, which then passes through baffles in the back wall. The heated air is released through vents on each side of the stove. He did not patent the stove so that others could freely copy the design. In 1842, Karl Paul Gottfried Lind was born, a German engineer. He invented mechanical refrigeration. He developed the technology so that beer could be brewed year-round. In 1939, President Franklin D. Roosevelt served hot dogs to King George VI and Queen Elizabeth of England during their visit to the U.S. It was the first time they had tried this American treat. And in 1947, sugar rationing ended in the U.S., at least for home use. In a surprise move, then USDA Secretary Clinton P. Anderson ended household and institutional sugar rationing. By the way, during World War II, supplies of sugar were meager. Consumers shifted to substitutes like honey, molasses, saccharin, and corn syrup. How meager were the supplies? Well, some restaurant patrons took home the sugar bowls on their tables. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner. He's the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, it had been rainy, but things are a little more sunshiny around here lately, although I think we'll be getting rain again on Friday, maybe. Is that right?
Maybe sooner than that. It's not all that rosy out there. Certainly it's nice to see the break, that's for sure. But there is a line of storms that will be coming through the region. Right now it does look like the timing on that will probably be late Thursday night, I think, for western portions of the listening area, and then Friday for sure over across the eastern parts of the region. Right now, it looks like rain amounts won't be all that terribly bad across the region. And of course, that's all a relative comment. Any rain in any part of the Midwest right now seems like it's not really all that welcome. We're going to be picking up on amounts running 0.5 to 1.5 inches, maybe a couple of totals getting up close to 2 inches, but that will be rare. Most of this rainfall will be in the light to moderate category. But like I said, most of the region is also still saturated or nearly saturated, so it wouldn't take a lot of rain to cause some more flooding across parts of the region. And speaking of flooding, of course, the situation off to the northwest there in Iowa and neighboring areas of Wisconsin and northwest Illinois is likely to get a little worse for the next few days because of the expected new rains coming on. And then finally, I think we'll start seeing a reversal in the trend.
We saw rainfall today in the northwestern parts of Iowa. That was pretty wicked looking. And you say that they're wet. How wet really are they? How wet is the southwestern part of Illinois, southeastern Indiana? Comparatively speaking to other years when they've been wet, how far behind are they? When do you see them being able to dry out?
Well, let's see. I can tell you that the northeast corner of Iowa, including about a dozen counties, have seen 20 to 25 inches of rainfall in the last 60 days. The same is true for those counties in interior southern Indiana, where we had all that terrible flooding last weekend. Those areas have also seen 20 to 25 inches of rain. We've also seen that in southeastern Kansas, and there's some areas in Nebraska that have seen some pretty impressive rainfall. These rain amounts in Iowa and Indiana are probably 8 to 16 inches above normal. I think it's 8 to 12 for the most part. But anyway, it's a tremendous anomaly in those areas. And as far as when can we expect a change, like I said, I think this is the last big storm system for a little while. I don't want to imply it's not going to rain anymore because that's not the case. But I don't think we're going to see as much heavy rainfall across the region as frequently as we have. A northwesterly flow pattern aloft is going to develop, and the end result here is going to be a trend towards a decrease in the flood situation. But it will take a couple of weeks for us to get that water back into the riverbanks for some of these areas.
45 seconds left. Better check in on China and see how their crop's coming along.
Actually, they're doing very well. There's no big issues in China right now. I think the majority of their crop is sitting very pretty, and it's going to yield well. There's a little bit of dryness starting to show up in some of the northern parts of the production region, but I do not believe it's going to fester into a big problem right away. Maybe a little bit later in July or August, some of the summer crops might become somewhat stressed, but I don't see a problem for China.
Drew, thanks much.
Have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner is the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, and that is today's Closing Market Report. Please visit our website where you can listen to today's futures analysis, cash grain analysis, and weather on demand anytime you'd like. The address, willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason.